Hello, and welcome to the Ben Tibbetts Podcast. This is episode 2, recorded on November 22nd, 2017. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about fame and the relationship between the size of a content creator's audience and their success. So when I sit down to make a piece of music or write an article or something, it's not just for me. I want other people to see my work and hear my work and appreciate it, enjoy it. I want it to add value to other people's lives. I do want an audience, and it matters that that audience be big enough or devoted enough to support me financially. Or it matters in the end that I am supported financially enough that I can pay my bills, that I can continue to do my work. But I think for many people, there's this assumption that the bigger the audience, the better. If you get an opportunity to double the size of your audience, that's almost an intrinsic good. That's what musicians and actors and actresses want when they talk about exposure. Exposure is just a fancy word for getting a little bit more famous, getting more people to see you, hear you, appreciate you, know your name. And there are obvious benefits to exposure, to being exposed. Opportunities come up for people who are well known that don't come up for people who don't have a large audience. In many cases, a large audience can translate to financial success. And in extreme cases, it can lend itself to a glamorous lifestyle. But I think that in general, at least in America, we probably take the glorification of fame as a goal in and of itself a little too far. As content creators, we often define ourselves, I think we fall into the trap of defining ourselves and our work by how many people are paying attention to it. And in saying this, I'm not trying to be disparaging of people who have managed to garner a large audience. And as I say this now, I would love for more people to hear my music, because it would mean, I think it would mean, that I was probably adding more value to the world. You know, if more people appreciate what I'm doing without cutting back on the appreciation of people who like it already, I think that's an intrinsic good. But the article I'd like to read today points out that garnering an infinitely larger audience might not be the best approach for a creative professional. And at the very least, that there's an alternative. That instead of focusing on quantity, you can focus on quality. That it's possible to have a smaller audience that deeply appreciates your work, and that smaller audience can support you financially. And finally, that this is becoming ever more possible in a world that includes things like Patreon and Kickstarter. The article I'd like to read today is 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly is the founding executive editor at Wired Magazine. He is also a writer and a sort of public intellectual. The version of the article I'd like to read today is not the original article as it was published in 2008. It is a more recent, revised copy, wherein Kevin Kelly has removed some of the out-of-date details and included information that takes into account some of the advancements of the last 9 years. Reading this article was one of a couple of things that caused me to think about my goals as a musician a little differently. I hope that it is as useful for you as it was for me. So without any further ado, this is 1,000 True Fans by Kevin Kelly. To be a successful creator, you don't need millions. You don't need millions of dollars, or millions of customers, millions of clients, or millions of fans. To make a living as a craftsperson, photographer, musician, designer, author, animator, app maker, entrepreneur, or inventor, you only need thousands of true fans. A true fan is defined as a fan that will buy anything you produce. These diehard fans will drive 200 miles to see you sing. They will buy the hardback and paperback and audible versions of your book. They will purchase your next figurine sight unseen. They will pay for the best of DVD version of your free YouTube channel. They will come to your chef's table once a month. If you have roughly 1,000 of true fans like this, also known as super fans, you can make a living, if you are content to make a living, but not a fortune. Here's how the math works. You need to meet two criteria. First, you have to create enough each year that you can earn, on average, $100 profit from each true fan. That is easier to do in some arts and businesses than others, but it is a good creative challenge in every area, because it is always easier and better to give your existing customers more than it is to find new fans. Second, you must have a direct relationship with your fans. That is, they must pay you directly. You get to keep all of their support, unlike the small percent of their fees you might get from a music label, publisher, studio, retailer, or other intermediate. If you keep the full $100 of each true fan, then you need only 1,000 of them to earn $100,000 per year. That's a living for most folks. And I gotta say, 100,000 per year sounds like a very healthy living to me. I certainly don't make anything like that. And I would be very happy if I made 100,000 a year from making music. 1,000 customers is a whole lot more feasible to aim for than 1,000,000 fans. Millions of paying fans is not a realistic goal to shoot for, especially when you are starting out. But 1,000 fans is doable. You might even be able to remember 1,000 names. If you added one new true fan per day, it'd only take a few years to gain 1,000. The number 1,000 is not absolute. Its significance is in its rough order of magnitude, 3 orders less than 1,000,000. The actual number has to be adjusted for each person. If you are able to only earn $50 per year per true fan, then you need 2,000. Likewise, if you can sell 200 per year, you need only 500 true fans. Or you may need only 75,000 per year to live on, so you adjust downward. Or if you are a duet or have a partner, then you need to multiply by 2 to get 2,000 fans. For a team, you need to multiply further. But the good news is that the increase in the size of your true fan base is geometric and linear in proportion to the size of the team. If you increase the team by 33%, you only need to increase your fan base by 33%. Another way to calculate the support of a true fan is to aim to get one day's wages per year from them. Can you excite or please them sufficient to earn one day's labor? That's a high bar, but not impossible for 1,000 people worldwide. And of course, not every fan will be super. While the support of 1,000 true fans may be sufficient for a living, for every single true fan, you might have 2 or 3 regular fans. Think of concentric circles with true fans at the center, and a wider circle of regular fans around them. These regular fans may buy your creations occasionally, or may have bought only once, but their ordinary purchases expand your total income. Perhaps they bring in an additional 50%. Still, you want to focus on the superfans because the enthusiasm of your true fans can increase the patronage of your regular fans. True fans not only are the direct source of your income, but also your chief marketing force for the ordinary fans. Fans, customers, patrons have been around forever. What's new here? A couple of things. While direct relationship with customers was the default mode in old times, the benefits of modern retailing meant that most creators in the last century did not have direct contact with consumers. Often, even the publishers, studios, labels, and manufacturers did not have such crucial information as the name of their customers. For instance, despite being in business for hundreds of years, no New York book publisher knew the names of their core and dedicated readers. For previous creators, these intermediates, and there was often more than one, meant you need to have much larger audiences to have a success. With the advent of ubiquitous peer-to-peer communication and payment systems, also known as the web today, everyone has access to excellent tools that allow anyone to sell directly to anyone else in the world. So a creator in Bend, Oregon can sell and deliver a song to someone in Kathmandu, Nepal, as easily as a New York record label, maybe even more easily. This new technology permits creators to maintain relationships so that the customer can become a fan, and so that the creator keeps the total amount of payment, which reduces the number of fans needed. This new ability for the creator to retain the full price is revolutionary, but a second technological innovation amplifies that power further. A fundamental virtue of a peer-to-peer network, like the web, is that the most obscure node is only one click away from the most popular node. In other words, the most obscure underselling book, song, or idea is only one click away from the best-selling book, song, or idea. Early in the rise of the web, the large aggregators of content and products, such as eBay, Amazon, Netflix, etc., noticed that the total sales of all the lowest-selling obscure items would equal, or in some cases exceed, the sales of the few best-selling items. Chris Anderson, my successor at Wired, named this effect the long tail for the visually graphed shape of the sales distribution curve, a low, nearly interminable line of items selling only a few copies per year that form a long tail for the abrupt vertical beast of a few bestsellers. But the area of the tail was as big as the head. With that insight, the aggregators had great incentive to encourage audiences to click on the obscure items. They invented recommendation engines and other algorithms to channel attention to the rare creations in the long tail. Even web search companies like Google, Bing, Baidu found it in their interests to reward searchers with the obscure because they could sell ads in the long tail as well. The result was that the most obscure became less obscure. If you lived in any of the 2 million small towns on Earth, you might be the only one in your town to crave death metal music, or get turned on by whispering, or want a left-handed fishing reel. Before the web, you'd never be able to satisfy that desire. You'd be alone in your fascination. But now satisfaction is only one click away. Whatever your interests as a creator are, your 1,000 true fans are one click from you. As far as I can tell, there is nothing, no product, no idea, no desire, without a fan base on the internet. Everything made or thought of can interest at least one person in a million. It's a low bar. Yet, if even only one out of a million people were interested, that's potentially 7,000 people on the planet. That means that any one in a million appeal can find 1,000 true fans. The trick is to practically find those fans, or more accurately, to have them find you. Now here's the thing. The big corporations, the intermediates, the commercial producers, are all under-equipped and ill-suited to connect with these 1,000 true fans. They are institutionally unable to find and deliver niche audiences and consumers. That means the long tail is wide open to you, the creator. You'll have your 1 in a million true fans to yourself. And the tools for connecting keep getting better, including the recent innovations in social media. It has never been easier to gather 1,000 true fans around a creator, and never easier to keep them near. One of the many new innovations serving the true fan creator is crowdfunding. Having your fans finance your next product for them is genius. Win-win all around. There are about 2,000 different crowdfunding platforms worldwide, many of them specializing in specific fields, raising money for science experiments, for bands, or documentaries. Each has its own requirements and a different funding model, in addition to specialized interests. Some platforms require all-or-nothing funding goals. Others permit partial funding. Some raise money for completed projects. Some, like Patreon, fund ongoing projects. Patreon supporters might fund a monthly magazine, or a video series, or an artist's salary. The most famous and largest crowdfunder is Kickstarter, which has raised $2.5 billion for more than 100,000 projects. That number might be bigger now. I'm not sure how recently he rewrote this essay, but that's a pretty staggering number, $2.5 billion. The average number of supporters for a successful Kickstarter project is 241 funders, far less than 1,000. That means if you have 1,000 true fans, you can do a crowdfunding campaign, because by definition, a true fan will become a Kickstarter funder, although success of your campaign is dependent on what you ask of your fans. The truth is that cultivating 1,000 true fans is time-consuming, sometimes nerve-wracking, and not for everyone. Done well, and why not do it well, it can become another full-time job. At best, it will be a consuming and challenging part-time task that requires ongoing skills. There are many creators who don't want to deal with fans, and honestly should not. They should just paint, or sew, or make music, and hire someone else to deal with their superfans. If that is you, and you add someone to deal with your fans, a helper will skew your formula, increasing the number of fans you need, but that might be the best mix. If you go that far, then why not subcontract out dealing with fans to the middle people, the labels and studios and publishers and retailers? Well, if they work for you, fine, but remember, in most cases, they would be even worse at this than you would. The mathematics of 1,000 true fans is not a binary choice. You don't have to go this route to the exclusion of another. Many creators, including myself, will use direct relations with superfans in addition to mainstream intermediaries. I have been published by several big-time New York publishers. I have self-published. And I have used Kickstarter to publish to my true fans. I chose each format depending on the content and my aim, but in every case, cultivating my true fans enriches the route I chose. The takeaway? 1,000 true fans is an alternative path to success other than stardom. Instead of trying to reach the narrow and unlikely peaks of platinum bestseller hits, blockbusters, and celebrity status, you can aim for direct connection with 1,000 true fans. On your way, no matter how many fans you actually succeed in gaining, you'll be surrounded not by faddish infatuation, but by genuine and true appreciation. It's a much saner destiny to hope for, and you are much more likely to actually arrive there. And that's the end of the article. One of the things I find kind of moving about this essay and about the idea that it represents is that it suggests, I mean, so if Kevin Kelly is right, that this is a much better business model for creators, and if the incentives really are lined up this way, ultimately, for models of funding creative content in the future, we might get back to a system for artists and creative types that's more like a village supporting one person than a football stadium filled with people. And there's something really sweet about that. I really like the part in this essay where Kelly talks about remembering the names of your fans. So if you have 1,000 true fans, you might be able to remember their names. I think that's really sweet. And I think that it's probably more conducive to happiness to have a smaller number of people who really know you and appreciate you deeply than a large number of people who only superficially understand your work or care about what you're up to. So given the choice between the two, I think the first is much more likely to make you fulfilled. And that's the end of this podcast. This is only the second episode, and I'm still experimenting with the format and where I'd like this podcast to go in the future. So I would really welcome any feedback that you, the listener, might have on whether this was useful for you, whether there are things you think I could do better, or things which you think are working and would like to see more of in future episodes. I do have a long list of topics that I'd like to tackle, but if there are topics that you'd like to hear me talk about, please let me know. My email address is contact@bentibbetts.net, and if you're listening to this on Newgrounds, you can leave a comment below if you're a member of the site. Other than that, thank you for listening. I hope that you have a good and productive day. Until next time. Thank you.